Only Tides Will Tell. What's that all about? Coming up next on The Parker J. Cole Show. Welcome to the Parker J. Cole Show. I'm so glad you are able to join me today. The Queen is here, and we are showcasing a book called Only Tides Will Tell. But it's more than a book. It's actually a commentary about tithing and what tithing is all about. Told in a romantic, humorous way with a lot of hard-hitting issues, Only Tides Will Tell will take the reader to a place they have already been to, but with fresh new eyes. I love this book. I've been reading it today. It's a lovely story that I want you to pick up by Candace Ordered Steps Johnson. You can pick it up on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. You're definitely going to enjoy this story. But we're going to be talking about the book. We're also going to be talking about tithing. If you want to get people upset, talk about tithing. Tithing will rip a church apart. I've seen it. I have the experience of being in church all my life and have seen tithing really rip churches apart for many different reasons. And so I put a question out there to our supporters. I basically asked if tithing was just about money or can you gift tithe time and talent? And so many of you responded to that question, and we will be reading those responses on air. As always, I want to thank our corporate sponsor for sponsoring us. We have Christian Book Club. If you want to know how you can build your readership, go to christianbookclub.net. Also, for those of you who are in the Christian publishing world, if you want to upload your books to an app that is solely dedicated to the Most High God, simply go to readioapp.com. The app will be live soon, but you can go ahead, go to readioapp.com and start to upload your catalog today. So when the app is live, your books will already be available on the app. You know, you have to fight through Amazon's algorithms and through a lot of different content. This app is solely dedicated to Christian fiction and nonfiction authors. Again, go to readioapp.com. I want to thank our Patreon team for their support. If this is something you want to support as we showcase Christian authors worldwide, simply go to patreon.com/writestuff and see how you can help us. If you can't help us out financially, as I always say, we covet your prayers. I want to definitely make sure that we reach the world for Christ. So if you want to donate financially, go to patreon.com/writestuff. If not, I covet your prayers. As always, if you want to weigh in on the conversation, you know you can. All you got to do is call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then AuthorShout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at AuthorShout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by AuthorShout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
As an author, you understand the devastation of someone plagiarizing your work, but what if someone stole your identity? Protect yourself and your family with identity theft protection. Services include credit monitoring, credit reports and scores from all three credit bureaus, social security number, emails, credit cards, bank account monitoring, and social media monitoring from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. For more information, call 248-525-7680.
We're back, and you're listening to the Parker J. Soul Show.
Hi, and welcome back to the Parker J. Cole Show. The Queen is here, and we're talking about Only Tides Will Tell. It's a book written by my good friend Candace Ordered Steps Johnson, but it's not just a book. It's a commentary through fiction about tithing, what tithing is, what it does. Will it help you in your life? Does it put a restraining order on trouble? There's so much to the conversation. And like I said in the introduction of our podcast today, I said, when you want to get a church riled up, mention tithing, and that will definitely do it. There's a lot of things that get churches riled up inwardly, but this is one of those hot button topics, and I can't wait to talk about it because we don't shy away from the hard stuff here. And so without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest co-host and contributor today, Candace Ordered Steps Johnson. Candace, how are you doing today?
I'm wonderful, and thank you so much for having me. This is definitely a hot button, and I don't mind pushing it.
Amen. If we don't push the buttons, we don't know what the buttons will say. We don't know if the buttons are really hot item buttons or just differences of opinion. And you can definitely see that when it comes to tithing, because when I put the question out there, we had a myriad of responses to them. Some people said tithing is antiquated. Some people said tithing is the Old Testament precept. Others say tithing is a mandate. Lots of different opinions about tithing. So let's go ahead and talk about it. But before I do that, I definitely want to you to introduce yourself to our listeners. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. I am Candace Ordered Steps Johnson, and that name actually came because I have a dance ministry called Ordered Steps Productions. And as we would go around and we minister on major platforms with major gospel artists, and we've even won Emmy Awards, it was kind of crazy because people started calling me myself Ordered Steps. And so the name just kind of stuck. And I just kept it when I ventured into writing books. So I am an author, I'm a choreographer, dancer, independent filmmaker, hand lettering artist, and all around creative.
One thing about Ordered Steps, I keep thinking of the song Order My Steps that was sang by many good gospel artists. The one I like the most is the one sang by Mighty Clouds of Joy. And when they sing that song, Order My Steps, it just sends chills down my spine. So every when I see your name, first thing I would think about is the song, Order My Steps. I think about that song all the time. And that you have a dance ministry, I'm glad to hear that it's doing well, that people actually put you in your calling as a dance ministry. So that's just incredible. That's absolutely incredible. I'm glad to know that. We connected, I think, because I saw your book last year, Only the Tides Will Tell, and I was just floored by the whole idea of just the title. And I said, I have to reach out to her. But you were busy because you had classes you taught, so you couldn't do it right away. And then the pandemic happened, and a lot of things got shut down, and so I'm like, yay, we can finally do this now. So really glad that you're here to help talk about this rather divisive topic in the church. And this is not outside the church. There are some people who have no problem giving people the shirt off their backs when it comes to tithing. It is such a issue that people have a hard time even reconciling the fact that maybe we should agree to disagree. There's very adamant stances that people have about tithing. So let's go ahead and talk about that. And I'm going to be sharing some comments during our commentary. And then the later half of the podcast, we'll be talking about your book, which addresses this as well, called Only Tides Will Tell, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So Candace, let's go ahead. What is tithing?
Oh my goodness. You know, right before I called in, I saw a Facebook post, and it said, when you get that stimulus check, make sure you tithe. And it kind of, you know, it kind of unnerved me because I feel like tithing is supposed to be between you and God. But what it's become is a weapon that we wield between Christians to either build someone up or tear them down based on whether or not you're tithing. We are expected biblically to give 10% of our earnings for tithe and offering and bring it cheerfully to the house of the Lord. But that was under the Old Testament. So for me, tithing is giving back to God portions of what he gives through us, either through money, it could be your time, it can be your talent, it could be your spiritual treasures, whatever it is that he blesses you with, you can give it back to him. And I believe that the Holy Spirit leads each individual person and guides us on what that measure of giving should be.
And a number of our responders do agree with what you said, that it's not just monetary, it's your time and talent. So we got a comment from Jackie that I would love for you to respond to, Candace. And Jackie from Kent, Michigan says, that's an interesting question. In some ways, time and talent are just as difficult to give because we tend to think of them as our own and meant to serve our own purpose, all while thanking God as we accept our awards and praises of others. Ultimately, my thought is that we live in the age of grace, not under legalistic demands, so it is a heart issue. What does it mean to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, and strength? If we're doing that, is this even a concern? I think people who get hung up on specific numbers are in danger of just trying to get by doing the bare minimum so they can put their conscience at ease. But when we truly live for God, it becomes a natural part of our desire to worship in all areas of life. It's a joy, not a duty. And that's from Jackie from Kent, Michigan. Hearing that response, Candace, what do you think about it?
I agree wholeheartedly in hearing that response. For me personally, and you know, I can only speak for myself, but dance isn't something that I set out to do. It is truly a gift that came directly from God. I did not start dancing until later in life. I was almost 30 years old before I even knew I could dance. This is something that God gave me. He literally took me out of the club where I was having fun dancing and it was worldly and everything else. He took me out of that environment and put me in a situation where I was helping at a church that I was part of at that time. The teenagers wanted to dance. Praise dance had just really started coming to the forefront. A lot of people still didn't know much about it. It wasn't accepted in the church. No one wanted to teach the young ladies. Well, I stepped up to do it, even though I didn't know the first thing about dance. So all of my knowledge was a direct download from the Holy Spirit. And I promised God, if you let me do this and you let me do this in excellence, I'm giving this gift right back to you. And so I devoted my time, treasure, gift, and talent that he gave me into teaching these young ladies how to dance and worship and minister from the heart to God. And I never stopped. And to me, a lot of that was my tithes and my offerings being brought to the house. It was strictly voluntary. And sometimes we're expected to volunteer and give up all of our time to the church, but we don't recognize it as tithing. We don't recognize the volunteers as cheerful givers, and sometimes volunteers are mistreated because of that. And I'm not saying every church, but it definitely happens. I love God with all my heart, and I'm a cheerful giver for whatever he asks me to give. If it's money, that's what it is. He will tell me when and where to sow, because there's also such a thing as sowing into good ground. Sometimes we're not sowing into good ground. And I wanted to sow my gift. Everything he gave me, I wanted to return it to him and use it to bless others. So for me, that is a form of tithing. And I totally agree with Jackie. Why is it even a concern when we're doing it out of love for the Lord and we're doing what he says and we're doing what he leads us to do? why is that not a form of tithing, or why is it not considered to be a form of tithing?
Andra from Facebook says, time and talent should absolutely be included. How often do churches and other religious organizations beg for volunteers? Sometimes I think they appreciate people giving their time, talents, more than their money. Andra, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. I think she actually hit something on the nail there, because money is quite easy to give if you have it. If you don't have it, you don't have it. And I think people understand that. It's easy to give money because you can just say, okay, I gave money, they can do whatever they want with it. You know what I mean? But when you give your time, you're actually sacrificing flesh. It's a sacrifice of flesh. Maybe you have to go and maybe you decide to go and clean the church. Maybe you decide to go and help out with Sunday school, whatever organization or duty that you can do within the church. And that's requiring you to give up, hey, I want to binge on Netflix, or I want to sit at home, like me, I read books, read a book or whatever. And I think she hit it on the nail when she said that. What do you think about it?
She is absolutely right. When I tell you it's a sacrifice, it is a sacrifice. For some people, money is not a sacrifice, but that time may be. I am a bona fide homebody. I love being at home with my husband. My husband mm-hmm. is actually the social butterfly. I am not. And
I love it.
I love being at home with the books, and I'm just really an introvert. I really am. And people find that so hard to believe, because I'm always doing interviews, or I'm out dancing, or doing all these things that require me to communicate with people and be around people all the time. But that is a sacrifice, because I'm actually an extremely shy person. And so when I'm able to do, when I'm blessed to do interviews and things like that, is truly directly from God. So it's a sacrifice for me to leave the house for hours at a time teaching children who would have to actually pay, you know, $60 an hour or $100 a month or $150 a month if they were to go to a secular dance studio to learn the same things that I'm teaching them for free. So there's a big difference there. That is a sacrifice, and not just my time, but it sometimes gets hard on the body, you know, mine as well as theirs. You know, I'm pushing 50 here, which isn't old, but it is older. And it's a sacrifice. It's definitely a sacrifice, and I believe in sacrifice, surrender, and submission. I'm willing to sacrifice my time. I'm willing to surrender to whatever God tells me to surrender to, and I submit to his direction.
One thing that I found interesting is that a number of people understood that sometimes when it comes to tithing, you should do it cheerfully. And one thing, we got a couple of comments I'm going to read. Linda from Charlotte, North Carolina says, you are on point. I try to do all three, tithe, time, and talent daily. Linda, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. Tammy from Knightstown, Indiana says, I believe you can tithe your time, your talent, etc. Some people literally scrape by, so they give back to God the only way they can. And that means more to God in those situations. Of course, the first thing that came to mind when Tammy said that, Tammy, thank you for joining in the conversation, was the widow with two mites and how she gave everything. And it was two mites, and how the Lord said, because of what she did, this will go down in history and we'll continue to remember what she gave. And I like the fact that the Lord does understand that it's not about what we give, it's the spirit and what we give it in. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. I can't hold my tongue here.
But go right ahead.
We get to the point where we have the auction line offerings when we go to certain services. And by the time you're auctioning off, are you going to give $100? Who's giving $50? Who's giving $75? You know, at that point, it's no longer cheerful. At that point, it's no longer voluntary. At that point, when you feel like you're being pressured or put on the spot especially when people in the room are looking to see who's standing up and going to the $20 line, who's going to the $50 line. That's a lot of pressure. Are you actually hearing from the Holy Spirit telling you to give this certain amount, or is it because you hear what amounts to be like an auctioneer? That changes the whole atmosphere. It changes your attitude, and you might not be giving as cheerfully as you would have had you not been pressed in that situation. There have been times where I have had nothing. You know, we at one point, you know, I had lost my job. And it was like corporate America. I've never been fired, but corporate America quit me. They eliminated my position that I was at my job. And I was ready to, at first, kind of, I was numb behind it. But I never stopped wanting to give, if that makes sense. And I wanted to give more. I didn't have more to give, but I wanted to give more. And so I dove into doing more and more and more at the church that I was a member of. Well, with regard to dancing, you know, there's a song, Alabaster Box. Well, I break open that alabaster box every time for God, and I pour out what I have for Him, because He deserves everything that I have. He deserves all of me, whether that be money or whether it be my feet delivering the good news through song and dance. I'm going to give it to Him. Totally agree with Tammy that you can do all of them, because some people have the money to give, but sometimes we don't acknowledge when they actually don't. And I've seen people literally put in situations where they have nothing to give. They're months and months behind on rent, but they're being told, well, you better give this first and not your rent. And it's like, wow. Those same people I witnessed, they weren't, the church wasn't there for them when they were being evicted. So this is where a lot of my story ideas come from. A lot of these things I've witnessed. And you know, you never want to push people to the point where they feel scared to give. We should be doing it from the heart. And if we're being coerced, it's not from the heart.
You mentioned about how the church was like, well, you got to give your tithes before you pay your rent. And I'm sorry, I was very young when I thought, and I heard that, and I thought, no, there is no way I can give tithes and be homeless. You know what I mean? I'm talking about monetary. I'm not talking about if you're giving your time and time. I'm talking if you're monetary. Like, I don't think you should give the baby's food away. Do you know what I mean, Candace? I'm not saying that we don't trust the Lord. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that. But I remember I was a young, I mean, like maybe 10. I'm like, that sounds crazy. You know, like, that's just, I mean, you know how they say out of the mouths of babes. I said, y'all got to be on crack or something, because I'm not doing that. I was just being real young, picking that up. I was real young picking that up. And, you know, you mentioned about the auction giving. And it's been a while since I've been in a church that did that, because I go to a mega church now. And it's been a while because I used to go to different types of church all the time. That's why your book, it really is a nostalgia trip for me, because it takes me back to my childhood and the different churches we used to go to and different services and everything. But, yeah, so I love your book, and this has that real authentic African-American feel to it. Especially coming to churches, the people's there, just a lot of good stuff in the book. Like I said, brought me back home. The other thing, I want to read a couple more comments before we go to break. The other comment we received was from Stephanie from Portage, Wisconsin. Stephanie says, I do. I give a bit of my time and talent away each week or month instead of getting paid for it. Stephanie, thank you so much for your comment. Sherry from Facebook says, I think we should tithe time and talent as well, just not as a substitute for tithing our money as well. Sherry, thank you. And I'm going to read a comment that I want you to respond to, Candace, on the other side of the break. Cecilia from Washington, D.C. says, are you talking from a church standpoint? Some members will have to give money instead of talent. If everybody just tithe their talent, then there'd be no money in the coffers to pay church bills. outside of church, you can tithe whatever you feel. And I want you to simmer on that, Candace, as we go to our break. And for those of you listening in, you can weigh in on our conversation by calling in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages.
We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring His gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
We're back, and you're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show.
Hi, and welcome back to the Parker J. Cole Show. I'm your host, the Queen Parker J. on WPJC 104.5. We have been talking to author and dance choreographer Candace Order Steps Johnson as we talk about her book, Only Tides Will Tell. But before we got into the book, we had to talk about tithing, because tithing is a very divisive issue in the church. And so we were talking about that, taking your questions and responses. You still have an opportunity to call in at 646-668-8848. Press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions or comments. And Candace, once again, thank you so much for being with me on the show today as we tackle this topic that's coming at it from a lot of different viewpoints. And you do that in your book, Only Tides Will Tell. And we follow the story of three women. The first two are wives, and the second is a daughter of a pastor. And they are dealing with issues in their lives that affect their livelihood. It affects their mental and spiritual health, as well as their emotional health. So a lot of things are going on in this book. And I'm really surprised at how much you packed into this story, because it's a short book. It doesn't take a long time to read at all, but there's a lot going on here. So let's go ahead, delve into Only Tides Will Tell. So go ahead, without too many spoilers, tell us what the book is all about.
Wow. It is actually a play on tithing. Tithing is the center subject of Only Tides Will Tell. However, without giving too much away, it goes into how we treat each other as Christians and in the church, and how we sometimes come together, or sometimes we tear each other apart based on our opinions or based on business we shouldn't be in. So you have a married couple who's going through a whole lot of things, and they are the actual center of the whole tithing debate, Lennox and her husband. And, you know, everyone is on them. Well, you know, maybe if you tithe, things will get better. Tithing is not, as you'll find out in the book, necessarily a way to get out of trouble. The bottom line, actually, with all the characters in the book, is that sometimes we say we harp on the first fruits, the giving the first fruits, but we use the giving to supersede God's commandments. We forget all of his commandments because someone is giving money, and that's not what we want to do. I think my favorite character in the book is probably the next wife, who is Brighton Finch, but we call her Bright. She is the one that gave me the most trouble when I was writing her. She is stubborn, she's spoiled, and she says anyone who doesn't tithe doesn't deserve help. They deserve all the trouble that they're getting in life. Meanwhile, Bright is holding some doozy of a secret, that kind of, I would say, cancels everything that she claims to stand for. And then we have Cassidy Moore, who is a pastor's daughter, but she's being abused. And her boyfriend is not a churchgoer, and he's not a tither, but he's a big-time giver in the community. And he was probably one of my other favorite characters to write, and he was actually my husband's favorite character too, JP, because although he was not in the church, he stood on the principles of giving. And so whatever he could do to give maybe a single mom a car or help someone with a bill here and there, whatever he could do to make things better because his life was getting better and he was getting blessed, he may not have been in church, but he recognized blessings. And so he was a blessing to other people. And it's amazing how sometimes we can focus on that 10% that people say we're required to give in the church, but we won't help the brother or sister next to us when they have a problem. And that's the gist of Only the Tithe Will Tell, without giving away too much, because with me, there's always a twist and a turn. Have I lost you?
Hey, you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, there you go. I thought I had lost you. No, but I was saying that JP, he was my favorite character too, because I was totally wanting him to go run the pastor down. I totally did, because he was just, I was 100% on his side, totally 100%. But what I was saying before we lost contact, I was saying that his giving was the underlying theme I caught with his story and Cassidy, is the underlying thing about generational legacy, because his grandmother was a giver and she gave out of her heart, and that cannot help but be sent down to your children to do the same thing. And I thought that was really clever in how you interwove that theme into the book. Was that a deliberate thing, or is that just something I picked up on? What? Tell me a little bit about that.
It was actually deliberate, and that's definitely how I fashioned his character and how his character came to be the way that he was, with his huge heart and his giving. You know, he was rough around the edges, but when it came to giving, you couldn't beat him, you know. And we talk a lot about generational curses, but we really don't discuss generational giving. So his grandmother believed in the church with all of her heart, served in the church all of her life, and he actually saw how the church treated her, and it could have gone a different way, but he still continued to give because she instilled that in him. And some people, you can give tithes and still not be a giver. And that's where I was going with that.
I love that. I love that you did that. And so you have these couples in different situations giving us insights into tithing, into giving, into what it means to be a Christian. Because, right, you couldn't tell her that she was not doing her job because she did tithe. Because look around her. She had a nice house. Her husband was an executive, and she has money. And I'm thinking to myself, there's a scene in there, and I won't give anything away, but there's a scene in there where she actually makes this quick observation that, oh, he's getting a little bit soft because he's working in the office more than going to the gym. And I'm thinking to myself, because she's like a diva, I'm thinking to myself, you know, you running that man ragged. That's what I was thinking, because he wants you to be happy, so he's working longer hours at the office. And then Lenny made me laugh so hard. She is so funny. She's one of those women, try her. No, right now there's this saying right now that's going, try Jesus, don't try me. And I'm like, y'all need to stop saying that, first of all. But I get it. It's like, you know, I'm not going to let you walk over me. And that's Lennox. I love her character. She really jumps off the page when you first start to read her. And then poor Cassidy, I get how you show how, particularly when there's familial abuse, in this case it's with her, it's not a spoiler per se, it's with her father. You have this familial abuse where he's hurting her, and here she is hating him and loving him at the same time. And that just makes it even more difficult. So I like the fact that you don't shy away from the difficulties and the complex nature of relationships that we have within the church. These aren't people outside the church, except for JP. These are people in the church. These are the saints.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like these are the flawed saints. These are the people God is working through. And I love that you show this in all of its broken, wrinkly facade, because this shows that these are the people God is using. And that lets us know that he can use us too. Broken, messed up, rough around the edges. Think you all that and the bag of chips and more, all of that. He can still use you. And that's what makes our Lord so wonderful, is the fact that he can still use us no matter our shape. We just have to be willing to be used. And there's another scene in here where Lennox is so upset with Zeke. And she's like, you know, I'm trying to believe what you say. I'm trying to believe that you're right. It's difficult when I'm looking down and I have lint in my pocket instead of money. It's difficult to believe that when all around me, my cabinets are empty. The refrigerator got one can of tomatoes in it. It's difficult. They have no furniture because it got auctioned off at the storage facility. They are really down on their luck. And so you would think, okay, they actually need help. And then the tithing is used in a way that I won't spoil, but it's used in a way that it really puts a strain on their faith. And then Bright is no help. She's like, you need to stop helping people out. I'm thinking to myself, you are sitting up there like a queen, just dictating, mm-hmm. like you got everything together and you don't. And then Cassie, of course, Cassie believes, but she's living in sin too. And JP is like, I know my grandmother's faith. I know what she was like, but your daddy's making me mad. And I'm with JP all the way. I felt like I was in that scene with JP and Cassidy. I felt like I was there next to him. Like, let's go, JP. Let's get this together. Pasta. Just do it. Let's just do it. You know? So what are you going to say, Candace? I'm sorry.
Oh, I love bouncing things off my husband, and he was saying a lot of things that you're saying now.
I love it.
Oh, he was with JP all the way, and he's like, that's my boy.
I'm with him all the way. I want to read a few more comments we received, so we want to make sure I get our people who involve themselves in the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. Randy from Michigan says, what you want to give to God is between you and God. It should also be where you are being spiritually fed with God's word. Randy, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. Robert from Grants Pass, Oregon says, your time and talent will be given with being involved. And Robert, thank you for joining in the conversation there. I think he makes an interesting point, Candace, because if you're involved, you're giving already. Because some people, that's why you were saying about some people can't tithe and not be givers. Like, as soon as they give tithing, they're out the church. They got their money. Boom, I'm gone. I'm not going to help with anything. They say, hey, we need volunteers for X. Okay, see you later. Bye. I'll send you, you know, $200 or whatever. And so I like the fact that Robert said that because he actually adds an added dimension to the conversation. What do you think?
I'm so glad that he brought that up. That was an excellent, excellent point. Involvement is important because you can be part of a church but disengaged. And I think that's how we end up inserting ourselves into someone else's business, you know, because it's easy to sit next to someone on the pew, but can you serve with them? And serving alongside them means being involved in the church. It's easy for me to go home, to go to church, sit there, enjoy the service, and go home, and the church never hears from me again. At the church that I am a part of, as with any church that I have been, I haven't been a part of very many churches before, but the church that I'm in, I'm willing to dance there as part of the arts ministry. That's my way of being involved and using my talent and my time. And they actually respect it. Sometimes there's a flip side to that where it's not respected. And I'm so grateful to serve in a ministry under pastors who actually understand that and respect the gift. But you can be right there at church and not serve. Sometimes, now, don't get me wrong, the church absolutely does need money to run. We have to. There's no way around that. You know, a lot of times pastors aren't even getting paid. So it actually goes both ways. And the pastor can't be expected to lose his house in order to keep the church building either. So the money has to come from somewhere. But I'm a firm believer that if God is the head of the house and he is the focus, that he is going to bring the funding there that's going to keep it running. And those who can give will. And those who cannot will sow in different ways, because I really do believe in sowing and giving, especially into good ground. You know, I don't know what Tyler Perry's church life is like. I don't know if he's a member of a church and or anything like that. But I will say he is a sower. He is a giver. That's why he's blessed. And I think that we need more of us like that, and it will help keep the churches running. And actually, maybe not even always just giving it directly to the church, but maybe helping those inside the church who we call church family. How about helping them too?
And we are talking today to Candace Ordersteps Johnson about her book, Only Tides Will Tell. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. And we're also talking about tithing. Is tithing simply just giving money? Is it giving time and talent? Is it all three? Should you tithe? Is it an Old Testament mandate? Is it a New Testament offering? So many things we're talking about today when we talk about Only Tides Will Tell. You want to get the book again for Amazon.com. We still have time to call in and weigh in by calling in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Specfaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the Most High-influenced ebooks and audiobooks.
We're back, and you're listening to the Parker J. Soul Show.
Hi, and welcome back to the Parker J. Cole Show. We are talking about the book, Only Tithes Will Tell, but we're also talking about tithing and all the intricacies along with it. It's a hot-button issue within the church. Candace Orderstep Johnson is tackling it in her just candid, conversational way today on the Parker J. Cole Show. Been really enjoying the conversation, been enjoying your responses to my questions about what tithing is. Is it just money, or can you tithe time and talent as well? Love your responses. I'm going to read a few more, Candace, so we try to get as many of our supporters as possible about this question. And C. Dub from Abolition, New York says, just don't give live animals like the old days. My pastor was not at all pleased when the goat ate part of the offering plate and the carpet stains from the birds won't come out. So CW, thank you so much. CW Breyer, he is so funny. He's an author. He's been on the show before. And he just has this great sense of humor. I love his humor. But I thought about that too, because a lot of people mention about tithing being an Old Testament mandate. And it was a different culture. They were supporting not just, it wasn't a monetary thing, it was an agricultural system. And the person who can best say it better than me is Jeremy from Dothan, Alabama. And Jeremy says, let me preface my answer by saying that when tithing was instituted, very few people actually dealt in money. He's right. The vast majority of human economy was based off the barter system. And then he goes on to further say that, also remember that the tithe wasn't always given by the believers to the church. And he says, consider Melchizedek's tithe to Abraham. Melchizedek was the priest of God, and Abraham was not a priest. He wasn't even Abraham at that point. And then he goes on to say that it helps to keep in mind that the tithe, just like the Sabbath, is a commandment intended to teach a particular truth, that what you're giving of doesn't belong to you in the first place. Rather, it all belongs to God. The tithe, Sabbath, and so on are exercises in stewardship. And Jeremy, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. We did get a few more comments I want to read, Candace. Thomas from Facebook says, my wife has always said that tithing time and talents are included. Teresa from New Haven, Michigan says, God knows what we can afford, and if helping others is all we can afford, I am sure we will be blessed tenfold. It's giving from the heart that God sees. Tony from Kansas City, Missouri says, tithing in the Bible has never ever been money. Prove me wrong. I will quit. Tony, thank you so much. And Tony, he's from the apologetic circle I used to roll around in. So Tony, thanks for joining in the conversation. Kathy from Pinckney, Michigan says, other things too. I remember a wonderful sermon and discussion on this from about a decade ago. Now, Kathy's response, Candace, gives me to ask you a question. Do you think that pastors teach on tithing now less or more? What's your impression of it?
with the timing of everything right now, I see it a lot more. With, you know, the doors having been physically closed for quite some time within the last year, you see it a lot more. I feel like before the pandemic, it quieted down some, but you would see, you know, some sermons about it, or you would see posts about it on social media, but now it seems to be extremely prevalent. And some of it was almost finger pointing, like, pay these tithes or our church is going to have to close type of thing. And honestly, you know, since we're just being candid, a lot of the conversations that I saw going forth or some of the sermons, it kind of seemed against the closing of the doors, seemed like it was because they may have thought it was going to affect the tithing. And they wanted the tithing in the house and didn't think that people were going to do it online. Or they would lose, you know, those people who were tithing time. They wouldn't have that opportunity because the doors to the church were closed. So I definitely believe, like, I believe we see it more now than we used to.
We did get some more comments I want to read out. KC from Los Angeles, California says, I used to consider time and talent as an option, but had a hard time justifying 10% of my time or talent. I can tithe 10% of my money or 10% of my crops, but time and talent are abstract. Now I consider time and talent an offering because there is no mandate on a specific amount. KC, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. We also got a few more comments. Sharon from Atlanta, Georgia said, absolutely, you can tithe your time and talent. It all comes from God, and he gives freely to you. Tithe means tenth. So give back a tenth of your time or talents to build his kingdom. David from Springdale, Arkansas says, the tithe was to be 10%, but that was just a start. There were then the offerings. It has to be something of value, but it's hard for a church to survive without money. And you spoke to that earlier, Candace, like, you know, we do have to pay the bills because in Detroit, I'm in Detroit, and DT is our utility company. They may want to bless the church, but they have to get paid too. You know, they can't get paid with, you know, I'm going to, you know, sweep the floors outside of DT.
Yeah.
They got to pay, you know. So, you know, it's nice. They'll go, you know, bless the Lord, brother, but we need that bill paid. So I totally understand that. And Dolores from Racine, Wisconsin says, yes, by all means. Biblically, wasn't the tithe for whatever each produced? And I don't know, I think we answered that already, Candace, about what the biblical precept for tithing was. I think it's not just the products that you have, like the crops, things of that nature. It's also your time as well. So Dolores, I think we did answer your question. Dana from Detroit, Michigan says, your time and talents too. Dana, thank you so much for joining in. Amanda from Arundel, Maine says, speaking strictly of tithing, you are giving something tangible, money in the Old Testament, food, goods. If you are using your gifts and talents in the church, you are serving or simply using your gifts and talents. So that's an interesting take. So Amanda says that you're giving something tangible, which is tithing. But if you're using your gifts and talents, it's service and service of the church. What do you think about that?
I believe that, and she does raise a good point, but I also see service as tangible as well, because you could be producing something tangible that the church needs that otherwise would not get done. So if it's sweeping the floor, it has to get done, you know. If it's producing a Christmas drama, you know, or teaching, or, you know, teaching Sunday school, to me that's tangible because someone is going to be teaching the children and their children are going to have that knowledge to keep with them, you know. Definitely a good point, but I also feel like it can be tangible as well.
Conrad from Mississippi says, it was originally agricultural products of the increase. pretty interesting if you dig into it. Conrad, thank you so much for joining in. Carol from New York says, after a while, tithing should become so second nature that we aren't even aware that we are giving anything of ourselves, whether to the church or not, whether it's time, talent, or money, whether above the requirement or just the requirement. Giving to others without realizing we're giving should become the air we breathe as natural children of God. Carol, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. I want to make sure I got everyone because we really do appreciate when you join in the conversation. We'd love to get your comments. Joy from Facebook says, what does God say in his word? Is the genuine believer's life their own? How does the world know we are disciples of Jesus? Love one another, other equals believers. How are we supposed to treat our neighbors regardless of faith or their treatment of us? Who is our neighbor? How much love are we to give? Greater love than this has no man except he lay down for his friend. Jesus laid down his life for us, his friends. Pouring your life out in love means to constantly crucify the flesh so that it is not me who loves, but it is Christ who lives in me. Joy, thank you for that exhortation. I felt as if she was doing an exhortation, but I saw the parallel in your book of Joy's comment as well, because using Lenny and Zeke as the couple who are down and having a hard time, it's not just money they need help, and not just monetary help, they need help in their marriage and other places too. So Joy hit it on the money as well. Yeah, I think we got everybody. So for those of you who joined in the conversation, thank you so much for being part of that. Now, Candace, you also have other books that you've written. So are you currently writing on new books as we speak?
I am, actually. I have a new release coming April 17th. And so I am very, very excited about that. And
what's it called?
It is called... Well, now, if anyone sees me on Facebook, this should come as no surprise, but it's called The Tacopology. And the reason why I say it should come as no surprise is because I love, love, absolutely love tacos.
Love it.
That is my favorite food. I would eat it all day, every day, if my husband would let me, but I have to consider his taste buds and his feelings as well.
I know, right?
It is. It's a fun story, but also, also a bit of a tearjerker. It's a dramedy about a reality show star who ends up losing everything because of her bad attitude, and she dreams of opening a taco restaurant, and things go when she makes some pretty bad missteps and she just mistreats everyone. So Tacopology is a play on the word apology as she goes on an apology tour to try to get her old life back.
And that's releasing 4 days before my birthday. So I'm very excited about that. So I'm glad to hear it. And I love some of the other books in your series of books, too. So for those of you, you definitely should go to Candace's website. Go ahead. Tell us what your website is, Candace.
Sure. It is www.bingeworthybooks.com. And then you can also order everything on Amazon as well.
In the few moments we have left, Candace, what I would love for you to do, I would love for you to pray for us right now. And I want you to pray for us because so many of us are struggling right now through this pandemic. Some of us don't have jobs. Some of us aren't able to get out. Some of us have gotten sick, lost ones. A lot of stuff is going on. And so it may be difficult to even give an offering of time and talent because we're not at church. It may be difficult to give money because we don't have money. And some people really pride themselves on being able to give of the first fruits that God gave them. And some people are saying, well, I gave my tithes. Why am I going through all this? So there's a lot going on here in this pandemic. So I'm going to go ahead and mute myself and go ahead and pray for us however the Lord leads you.
Okay. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this day that was not promised, but you created for us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us, for everything that you've brought us through. But most of all, we just thank you and praise you and worship you just for being who you are. Lord, you have done so much for us during this time. Some days it's been dark, Lord. Some days it's been hard. Some days we haven't seen our way out. And if we're being honest, our faith has been shaken, Lord. If we're being honest, if we're being real, we just want to let you know that it's been hard on a lot of us. Some of us have been ill with this horrible, horrible disease. Some of us have lost so many friends and family to this. Some of us have lost jobs and money and homes. But no matter what we lose, you are still here with us, and you're here for us. And we know that you will never leave nor forsake us, Lord God. And for that, we thank you. We just ask for comfort right now in the mighty name of Jesus. For those who feel like there's no way out, for those who feel like we're in the pit and we're going to stay there, Lord, help us see our way to the palace, Lord God. Help us to be comforted by you. Help us to be comforted by your word. Help us to stand on your promise and not give up, because you didn't create us to give up. You didn't bring us this far for us to quit. You've never quit on us. You've never failed us, no matter what it looks like. In spite of all that's happened, in spite of all that we've gone through, we went through it. No matter what we are experiencing now, you are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and you write the end to the story. No matter what our imagination or fear tries to tell us, we cast down fear in the mighty name of Jesus, and we rely on you and not our own understanding, because your word commands us. We will be brave in you, Lord God. We will be strong in you, Lord God. We will cleave unto you, Lord God. We will not turn on each other, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, but we will turn to help each other and love on one another and love the next one and help with whatever we can, Lord God. And when we feel like there's no resources that we can give, we will pray, because prayer is a commodity that sometimes we take for granted, even when we know that we shouldn't. So we thank you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God, not for what you can do for us, but just for who you are. You are the reason why we are still here, even listening to this podcast when so many others didn't make it. There are people in the hospital right now, and we just pray that they make it out in the mighty name of Jesus. And I just pray restoration over everyone who has lost something during this time. In the mighty name of Jesus, I just speak a hedge of protection around us, Lord God, and that your wisdom will carry us through, Lord God, and that your arms will give us comfort. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We lift up your name, because you and you alone are worthy to be praised. Can't do it without you, Lord God. And at the end of this, we just want to hear you say, well done. Thank you for loving on us. Thank you for keeping us, even when we didn't want to be kept. Even when we wanted to quit, you were right there, and we are still here. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this podcast and the host. We thank you for her heart for you, Lord God. And I just ask for her to be showered with the blessings and sponsorships so that she can continue on the great work that you are instilling in her, and that you will continue the work of her pen, Lord God. Thank you. And please bless everyone who is listening to this podcast, Lord God. And just to let everyone know, you have more for us. This is not the end. Thank you, Lord. It is these things we pray humbly in the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. What a powerful prayer. I just felt that going off through me as I listened to you. And thank you so much, Candace, for letting the Lord use you. Thank you for helping me out today on the show. And I cannot wait to have you back, and have you back real soon.
Thank you so much for having me, and I can't wait to come back.
And we were talking today to Candace Ordered Steps Johnson about her book, Only Tithes Will Tell. But we're also talking about tithing. And I know this is a divisive issue within the church, and it doesn't have to be. Between you and the Lord, you know what you are capable of giving. And if you are honest with Him, He will bless your efforts. It's the fact that it's not always about money. It's about your attitude of giving. So if you're having problems with tithing, talk to the Lord about it. Ask the Lord to help you. If you are tithing but you feel like you're not connected with the church, maybe it's not just about money. Maybe you need to get more involved than you already are. One thing Candace said, she said, you can be a tither and not a giver. And you really need to simmer on that if that's where you are at. Go into the Word of God. Study what tithing is all about. Study what offering, being a cheerful giver, is all about. See if you lack it in any manner. And ask the Lord to help you be better at this thing called a believer. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. Make sure you pick up your copy of Only Tides Will Tell on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious blessed day. God bless.